Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Good people, I ask you tonight, how often do you think about our God? I hope and pray that God is always on your mind. I pray that you're constantly thinking about God, and as you think about what it is that God has done for you and continues to do for mankind, is that you praise Him for the goodness that takes place in your life and the way in which He works for mankind, but also during times in which you need things, at the times in which you need God's help, I pray that you will petition Him and trust that He's going to be there for you. Also, I hope that as you are thinking about God, that you are seeking His way and His counsel for your life, and then in like figure, you're doing all that you can to follow according to His way. We must always be thinking about God in order for us to properly serve Him in life. I also want you to think tonight with this question, how often do you think about Satan? We should think about Satan. Not only should we think about Satan, good people, we must think about Satan. The Bible provides a lot of detail about Satan. Why does God tell us a lot about the devil? God wants us to be informed of our adversary, of the opponent, of the one working against us. And God wants to identify for us who Satan is and exactly what his goals are. And God wants to warn mankind of the surety, if we follow after Satan's ways, how he will destroy our soul. What is it that God tells us in regard to Satan? What are some things that we can know? Good people, we live in a world today where some believe that Satan is make-believe. They believe that he is fictitious and that he has only been developed by Christians to scare people into believing about God. But yet at the same time, the Bible tells us that he is real. Others assert that he is dead, that he lived in the Old Testament times and that he was certainly around during the first century, but after that he disappeared from the scenes. But good people, the Bible not only tells us that Satan is real, the Bible informs us that Satan is very much alive and actively roaming the face of this earth to destroy mankind. The Bible also reveals unto us, God wants us to understand that Satan is the ruler of the dark and evil of this world. By identifying that he is a ruler, I believe that God wants you and me to understand that Satan is very powerful. And as he works, tempting mankind, he does it in the darkness of this world. Well, what does that mean? Good people, he is able to hide the ways in which he works as well as the temptations, and then he brings them forth at times in which you and I are caught off guard. Satan and his ways, he is very, very perverse, and the ways of which he operates are very wicked, the things that he lays before us. And God's Word identifies unto us concerning Satan is that he is the God and the Father of this world. How is it that Satan is the God of this world? Good people, in an ultimate sense, our God reigns over the completeness of His creation, and therefore God is the only true and living God. But when we think in regard to Satan being the God and Father of this world, it is allowed by God that Satan be able to roam upon this earth. God permits Satan to function as he does. In stating all of that, our God also wants us to consider the fact, as is taught throughout the Scripture, is that Satan is limited. Whenever Jesus Christ came to this world, more specifically when He died at Calvary's cross, we understand, according to what is taught through Scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 30, as well as the book of Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, is that Satan's powers have been limited. Is he still able to roam the earth? Yes, most certainly he is. Is he still able to tempt you and me each and every day of our life? Yes, the Bible identifies that he is able to do that, but yet he is limited in regard to the ways in which he is able to operate, and Satan can be defeated through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whenever we think in regard to Satan, Good people, God wants you and me to understand that He is our greatest enemy. Why is it that He is our greatest enemy? He is out to destroy our faith. He understands, as what God wants you and me to understand, that faith is essential in order for us to be pleasing unto God. What is faith? Good people, we must have a belief in our God that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not only to believe in the eternal existence of God and the goodness of the Creator of all things, but also we must believe in Jesus Christ and confess our faith in Christ. And then also to demonstrate our faith in Christ by putting Christ on in baptism. And Satan, I believe, is very much aware of the faith that God requires of us. And Satan works diligently to destroy our faith in God. Why? Because he knows that without faith, you and I are lost. Yes, Satan is constantly working to lead you and me away from our God. And that should not surprise us as we consider the New Testament Scripture. We realize that Satan appeared unto Jesus whenever he lived here upon the face of the earth. And whenever he appeared before Christ and led him up into the pinnacle of the temple, he tempted him in the same ways in which you and I are tempted in life. And what is it that he sought to accomplish in tempting our Lord and Savior? Good people, he wanted to lead him away from God. But yet at the same time, whenever we consider Jesus and the temptation that He faced, Jesus stood. He stood against Satan. He withstood him by defeating him with the Word of God. And Satan knows that because he was not able to destroy Jesus Christ, now he comes after the church. He comes after us collectively, but also, good people, he comes after us individually as New Testament Christians. And he realizes that it's impossible for one to serve two masters. Because if we serve him, there's no way that we can be a servant of the true and living God. Satan works to ruin our hope in God. You know, the Bible tells us that the hope we have as Christians is a hope during the course of our life here of a greater hope that awaits us in heaven. And the Bible reveals unto us in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor so steadfast and sure. But Satan realizes that if he's able to capture our mind and to get us looking away from God and thinking about the things that this world has to offer, then it's not going to be long before we engage in the evil that this world has, the sin. And that sin will beset us. That sin will set us off course. The Bible says unto us in the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, that one who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And good people, those who look back and participate in the sins of the world, and as a result of that, then they, if they do not regret the loss of that hope in this world, I stand before you tonight and tell you that with a surety, they will regret the loss of that hope eternally whenever they are separated from the presence of God. Yes, Satan works diligently to separate the soul from God in this world. But good people, he works to separate the soul from God eternally, to separate us from the love of God, to divide us, to get us away from God in this life so that he can destroy the soul whenever we stand before God in judgment. How is it that we understand that Satan looks at God? Good people, the Bible reveals unto us that Satan understands the authority of God. And the Bible reveals unto us is that he trembles at the thought of God. The demons of Satan, they tremble. James chapter 2 and verse 19. He is also very knowledgeable of our life, but also we need to understand that he is very knowledgeable of the Word of God. When you look back into Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and following, and how that he dealt with Eve, he quoted that scripture, didn't he? But also think the way in which he worked with our Lord and Savior. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Again, he quotes at scripture. He is using scripture. But understand that in his usage of scripture, it is a misuse of Scripture, and it is an abuse of Scripture. He is very much aware of what God's Word says. And how is it that he responded, or even still would respond, to what it is that God commands for mankind? He ignores the commandments of our God. Good people, tonight, as I stand before you, I tell you that whenever God created all things, it appears from the Scripture as if God had also created angelic beings. Why? Because all things that have been created by God. And the Scripture reveals unto us in regard to Satan is that he had his fall. And therefore, it appears as if Satan was some sort of an angelic being that would have had the ability to choose what to do, whether he was going to serve God or rebel against God. And in all of that, we have revealed unto us is that he rebelled against God. Why is it that Satan rebelled against God? Because he was filled with pride. And for that reason, he did not seek our God. And therefore, he and those who followed after him were cast away from God. And then now the Bible reveals unto us is that they are held or reserved into the final judgment. That's what his arrogance got him. Good people, that's what he is deserving of because of the fact that he ignored the commandments of God. And today he wants you and me, he wants mankind to ignore our God's commands. And you and I need to be wiser than what he was. How? By reading and studying God's Word. By constantly looking into what it is that God says for us, we need to make certain that we arm ourselves with the whole armor of God. We need to be aware of everything that God says concerning Satan. We also need to be aware of the path that God commands, commissions us to go throughout the course of our life. And we need to be prepared for everything that Satan is going to throw out at us. We need to be prepared for the fight. And we need to engage ourselves in fighting back against Satan each and every day. You know, it's interesting when we think in regard to the way in which Satan works. He is very crafty in his ways. As you look back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, he identifies, as he presents things, is that God is unreasonable or he's not fair with man. Isn't that what he was saying unto Eve in his situation or dealing with there? In the book of John chapter 8 and verse 44, we realize though that Satan is a liar. No matter what he says about God, we can trust that he's going to try to convince us that we must not follow God. And then also, he presents before Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5 that in some way, if you sin against God, you're going to be filled with blessings. For in doing so, you will be like God, he said. Good people, isn't that the way that he works today? He tells us that if you participate in sin, don't feel bad about it because that's just a way of life. He tells us that if you participate in sin, it's okay because everyone else is doing it. He tells us that if you want to participate in sin, you're going to receive some sort of a gratification from that. And therefore, just go ahead and do it. God will be all right with that. However, God tells us that Satan is indeed our opponent, and that he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But also, I believe that he identifies, or he tries to identify into Eve, or to convince her, is that there would be no consequences for your sin. Your eyes will be open. You will be like God. In that, good people, he also works the same for us today. He wants us to understand that the satisfaction we receive, that no matter what it is that we receive in forms of punishment, go ahead and do it anyway. Or whenever we stand before God, surely God is a loving God, a merciful God. He's not going to condemn anyone to hell. Isn't that what we hear in the religious world? But yet God says unto us that many will come into Him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, in Your name, have I not done all of these wonderful things? And what is it that Jesus says that He will say unto those individuals? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's most interesting, too. He presents before man is that it's that we're capable of hiding our sin from God. Isn't that what Eve and Adam did in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9? They went and they hid from God. Did they hide from God? No, they did not. God knew exactly where they were. Also, God knew exactly what it was that they had done in regard to sinning against Him. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, you and I, no matter how hard we try, if we sin against God, we're not going to be able to conceal that from Him. We understand that all things are naked or revealed in the sight of God. And when we stand before God in judgment, if we have sinned against Him, and that sin has not been covered in the blood of Christ, then you and I shall stand guilty before God of committing sin and dying outside of the body. As Christians, God tells us that Satan can indeed be easily defeated. How? We must keep our eyes on the finish line. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 reveals unto us is that we are engaged in the race of the Christian faith, and we need to be like the Apostle Paul as he described to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, where he says, I have finished the race. And good people, whenever he finished the race, the thing that was most important in all that he said there unto Timothy, he says, I have kept the faith. And you and I must keep our eyes upon the prize that we have in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we must never give place unto the devil. Well, what do we mean? What is it that God is conveying unto us? What is it that God wants us to understand by saying that we need not give place to the devil? Good people, we need not give thought to the things that Satan would lay before us. Don't give consideration to the things that he wants to present to us to lead us away from God. Don't give time to the devil. Don't go in the direction that would be questionable, that might possibly lead us away from God. Instead, we understand that we must resist Satan's temptations. Well, what does it mean, resist him? It means that we need to put up a guard, a fence against him. It means that we need to turn and run the other way. And as Christians, we're capable of doing that. If not, God would not present that before us. But good people, also, it is very essential for you and me to abide in the Word of God. Not only to know God's Word, but to abide in His Word. John chapter 8 and verse 31. But note also what Jesus said in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're only able to be free whenever we know God's Word, whenever we obey God's Word, whenever we continue to abide in God's Word. How long? Until we depart from this life. Tonight we ask you, where is your relationship with our God? Have you given thought to Satan? As you give consideration to the things that Satan seeks to do to draw you away from God, do you find that you have been following him versus following God? If so, God stands willing and ready to receive you. And in receiving you, as you confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, if you're not a Christian, and then submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, you shall be raised, forgiven of your sins, commanded then to walk in newness of life. And if you are a Christian, and you've turned your life back over to the ways of this world, if you're being guided by Satan, our God also stands willing and ready to receive you. If you're willing to repent of your sins, through the prayers of the faithful in this congregation.